Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. For the second weekend in a row, Wonder Woman has destroyed the box office competition. The story is about an Amazon warrior princess who takes on the task of saving humankind in a time of war. In this scene, a Wonder Woman in training, played by Gal Gadot, gets some advice from her aunt, General Antiope, played by Robin Wright.
Never let your guard down. You expect a battle to be fair. A battle will never be fair.
Although the success of Wonder Woman suggests that women are making strides in a male-dominated industry, critics continue to point out the facts that women are grossly underrepresented in films, both in front of and behind the camera. Joining us by phone is film reporter and interview host Alicia Malone. Her 2015 TEDx talk on women in the film industry has evolved into a new book out this August called Backwards and in Heels, The Past, Present, and Future of Women Working in Film. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Some people will note that the film business is notorious for its bean counters and that women just don't make profitable enough films. So, I mean, doesn't it all go back down to that bottom line?
It does. And the frustrating thing is a lot of that bottom line has to do with the very bias of who a director is and whether it's a risk to give money to a female director versus a male director. And as you said before, I mean, the film school graduates on average are 50-50. Then after that is where women start to drop off. So we see a lot of women creating independent movies, filmmakers going to Sundance and winning awards, and you can get your own money together, you can make a movie, but once you have to go up that step and ask for financing or you become part of Hollywood, that's where women drop off and men continue to succeed, because once again, it just feels like a risk to give money to women and to give big blockbusters to women, even though there have been many, many exceptions to this rule.
The male domination of the industry goes way back, and I've thought many times over the years, well, if there's going to be a big breakthrough, it'll be this or then, like it would have occurred during the career of the likes of Katharine Hepburn or Sigourney Weaver or something like that.
Exactly. I mean, we've seen this many times before, and this is why I'm cautiously optimistic when it comes to Wonder Woman. I really hope Wonder Woman changes things, but even, you know, you think to Thelma and Louise, and after the success of that movie, everybody in Hollywood thought, okay, this is what we have to do. We have to give, you know, female stories. People want to see female stories. And then, of course, nothing changed. Same with League of Their Own. Nothing really changed. Then we saw the success of Twilight, and that gave us things like Hunger Games, but nothing really changed beyond that. Same with Bridesmaids. I mean, Bridesmaids, a female-led raunchy comedy that led to more female-led raunchy comedies, which we're still seeing with movies like Rough Night coming out this weekend. But beyond that, nothing has really changed. So I'm hoping that Wonder Woman opens more doors because it has both a female lead and a female director. But I'm optimistic, but I'm also cautious, thinking that possibly it'll lead to more female superheroes. But whether it'll change beyond that, I'm not so sure.
What do you think, in your opinion, is kind of at the crux of this? Is it just the emotional? I mean, where's the risk? What are they talking about? What do they say in the boardrooms?
Yeah, it's so complex because I wish it was, you know, one person or a group of people that were, you know, necessarily making these decisions and sexist, but it's just really a pervasive, you know, feeling in the whole industry. And, you know, for my book, I've interviewed a lot of female directors like Maria Geis, who out of film school, she had great success, early success. Her first movie went to Cannes and she started to get offers. And then after that, she just stalled. And she says she's part of the lost generation of filmmakers, where there's all these great female filmmakers who have made these wonderful first films, but can't move up from there. And I don't know exactly what it'll take to change it, but Maria has approached the ACLU, who then approached the Equal Employment Opportunities Commission to do an investigation into Hollywood to find out exactly where this discrimination happens, why it happens, and what can be done about it. And the EEOC, of course, don't comment on their cases that are ongoing, but rumors are that they have found enough evidence to charge each of the studios with discrimination. And so they might have to pay a fine. They might have to start to reinstate diversity rules where they have to have ratios. It's just very difficult because when a studio is looking to hire a director, they go to agents who then give them lists of possible people. And those lists are filled with people who have relevant budget experience. But how can you have relevant budget experience if you're not given that opportunity in the first place? So those lists are often filled by the same names, the same white male names. And so that's who keeps getting hired, but you can't get representation unless you have. So it's kind of like chicken and egg situation, and it's really, really frustrating.
Oh, well, it's certainly a scenario, though, that anyone who follows women's issues over the last 50 years is familiar with. I mean, it's not exclusive to the film industry. But the numbers are there that women make profitable films. And if all they care about, again, are the beans, then they're not counting them very closely.
Exactly. And Wonder Woman directly disproves a lot of these rules that Hollywood goes by. You know, when they're looking to greenlight a film, they'll come up with these ideas of whether a film can be successful or not. And one of those things is that men will only see movies about men, but women will see movies about women and men. But if you look at the numbers for Wonder Woman, it had 52% of the audience in the opening weekend were female, but that means 48% were men, and they were very happy to see a female superhero on the big screen. Also disproves that idea that women can't direct action movies and that female-led movies can't make money. But the thing that I found interesting and what sparked me to want to write my book is that it hasn't always been this way. You know, people say to me, well, Hollywood is a boys' club. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it will always be. But when I started to delve into the history of American cinema, I found that at the very beginning of cinema, back in the 1900s, before women were even able to vote, there were more female filmmakers working at the top of Hollywood than there are now. So at the very start of cinema, before it became a business, there were a lot of women involved. There were women who ran production companies. There were women editors, women directors, women screenwriters, actresses who were also directors. And it was a lot more equal. And then once the Great Depression came in, once movies had to make money, once it became seen as a business, that's when the men came in and started to have these executives and these business structures for Hollywood. And that's when they got shut out. So it went from being so many female directors in the 1920s to only one female director working in the 1930s.
We're talking about the dearth of women in the film business, both in front of the camera and behind the camera. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513. I'm talking with Alicia Malone. She is a film reporter and author of a forthcoming book entitled Backwards and in Heels, The Past, Present, and Future of Women Working in Film. Alicia, why don't you explain the title, the Backwards and in Heels reference?
Yeah, so this is a quote about Ginger Rogers, which said that she could do everything that Fred Astaire did, but backwards and in heels. And I thought that that is such a great metaphor for women in film because women have done incredible things. They have made accomplishments. They have revolutionized and innovated Hollywood and American cinema, but they've had to overcome so many more obstacles to do it. So, yeah, that's. I thought that could be a good title.
Yeah, it is. It's a very good title. You know, I think the Sony, the hack of the Sony Studios was one of the most revealing I've ever seen. I was shocked at the differences in earnings for the female stars of the same. It was shocking. Was that Jennifer Lawrence that was revealed to be making less than her co-stars? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right. And it was really surprising.
Charlize Theron,
yeah. Yeah, Charlize Theron. You had Jennifer Lawrence, also Amy Adams,
right.
All of those. Those were revealed during those email hacks that these women who, you know, have been Oscar winners, who had equal roles in movies, that they were making much less than their male co-stars. And that was really surprising because all of this negotiation happens behind closed doors. So we're not privy to it all. And often the actors themselves don't even know what their co-stars are getting paid.
Right.
So I think that was a huge shock for Jennifer Lawrence, who came out and she did that great letter about pay equality and how she, you know, should be more forthcoming. She should, like, stand up for her rights and negotiate more. herself, because it's really a difficult thing. And I think that also goes back to a wider society problem of women getting paid less, women asking for less money. But in Hollywood, they judge these on a point system, and apparently it is your box office, what you could possibly make at the box office. And again, there's that feeling that women make less at the box office, even though people like Jennifer Lawrence have disproved that so many times.
Talk about the notion that women are more into the art of film and not necessarily the big blockbusters. It's like kind of the fainting couch scenario.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's so maddening as well is the fact that when women get opportunities, it is usually in the romantic comedy genre, the drama genre, the comedy genre. And I always say, you know, women, like all human beings, like a variety of things. So, of course, women like action, women like Star Wars and dinosaur movies. And recently, a couple of years ago, Colin Trevorrow, the director of Jurassic World, got in trouble for a tweet because someone had tweeted him asking him why women aren't directing more action and whether he thought he could get his job, because he went straight from a small independent film called Safety Not Guaranteed to directing Jurassic World, this huge blockbuster. Mm-hmm. And someone on Twitter asked him whether he would have got that job if he was a woman. And the answer is no. But he said, well, maybe women just don't want to direct movies about dinosaurs, which I think is so limiting and such an old way of thinking. We have seen this happen so many times. People like Kathryn Bigelow is a great example of a female director working in very male-dominated genres of war films and action films. We've seen that with Lexi Alexander, who directed The Punisher. She directed a comic book movie and continues to direct comic book TV shows, but she hasn't been able to get back into Hollywood either. So it's just this bias that exists in every form in Hollywood that is just so frustrating for everyone who's trying to overcome it.
Is there much shift at the top when it comes to the studios? Is it the same guys in the same suits at the top for over long periods of time?
It's changing. I mean, the thing that I find really exciting when I look into the figures for executives is that even though there aren't that many women at the top so far, there are so many women just working one or two steps below that. So it will, I think, change in the next few years where there'll be a changing of the guard. There have been the old studio heads that have been there for a long, long time. And you see some women at the top, like Donna Langley at the top of Universal, who's had several hit movies since she took charge. And then lots of women working in vice president roles. And so I'm hopeful that they can move up and start to change things, because we did see a change when the female executives started to take charge in the 80s and the 90s, a slight change with people like Sherry Lansing and Dawn Steele, mm-hmm. these great women who were then working at the top of studios.
Yeah.
And their studies have shown that, you know, more female executives mean more female employees working below them. Studies show that more female directors mean more female crew members, more female characters, you know. So it all helps each other.
And then the man who led the 2016 Cannes jury, this is, you know, we're gonna hear from, not personally, but Jessica Chastain will get a cut from her remarks at the Cannes Film Festival. But the year before, the guy who led it, I guess his name is George Miller, he said that he doesn't remember going to a film and assessing if a woman was in it or not. He said that they were looking at other issues. I guess, does it also start with the idea that this is something people should be looking at?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's something that, you know, women, we notice much more than men. I think if you haven't been represented in films, then you can't see it. You know, if you haven't seen it, you're not used to seeing it. If you've seen yourself represented in characters and people working behind the scenes for so many years, then you don't even notice the people who aren't being represented. And I think that's something that Wonder Woman again has shown, is just how many women, myself included, were crying in the theater because seeing a glimpse of a female superhero on the screen, a woman that is empowered, seeing the whole crowd get behind this woman, it made me really emotional. And I think a lot of my male colleagues have said to me that they didn't realize that there was such a lack of women on screen until they saw Wonder Woman, they saw the reaction to Wonder Woman, and they thought, well, that's important. I think representation is so important, and people underestimate it. When they're used to seeing themselves on screen, they don't even notice it. But for us, I mean, the opening of Wonder Woman on the island, I've never seen more women on screen at once than I ever have in that moment. And it was so exciting. And as Gina Davis says, if she can see it, she can be it. It's really powerful when you see yourself reflected on screen, and really damaging when you don't see yourself or you see yourself represented in the wrong way.
We're talking about women in film today, in front of the camera, behind the camera. My guest is Alicia Malone. She's a film reporter and author of a forthcoming book coming out in August. It's entitled Backwards and in Heels, The Past, Present, and Future of Women Working in Film. We'll continue our conversation. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about the shortage of women in film, from roles in front of the camera to those behind the scenes. The issue came to the fore again a few weeks ago at the Cannes Film Festival after Sofia Coppola made news by winning the Best Director Award. That was only the second time in the festival's 70-year history that a woman had won that honor. Still, actress and producer Jessica Chastain, who served as a festival judge in Cannes, shared her frustration with the business.
And the one thing I really took away from this experience is how the world views women, from the female characters that I saw represented. And it was quite disturbing to me, to be honest.
Joining us is film critic for MadWoof.com and Columbus Underground, Hope Madden. Hope, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Still with us is film reporter and interview host Alicia Malone. Her forthcoming book is entitled Backwards and in Heels, The Past, Present, and Future of Women Working in Film. Alicia, were you in Cannes covering, or you were in Cannes covering the festival? What was the reaction to Chastain's comments?
Oh, it was such a great reaction because she spoke with such power and with emotion, and I think, you know, a lot of people were surprised by what she said, but then it made total sense. It's one of these things where Cannes, you know, has such an institution and it hasn't had such a great track record of including women stories, including female directors. So for her to speak up, it was really a powerful moment. And then I was so glad to see that her speech went viral, because I think it'll open up a lot of people's eyes to exactly how it feels to see women depicted in the wrong way over and over and over again.
That kind of caught my eye. And then, of course, Wonder Woman caught my eye again. Hope Madden, what did you think with Jessica Chastain's remarks? What occurred to you at that point?
Well, I think one of the things that made me sad about it is that a lot of the materials that she would have been viewing at Cannes are independent films. And I think was like a gut punch to think, oh, God, is it really still that bad even in independent films?
Right.
Because really, I mean, the numbers are far from even, but the number of successful women filmmakers in independent film is really a reason for optimism, I think. And weirdly enough, particularly in horror, there are some of the very best horror films I've seen in the last 5 years are across the board from female filmmakers. And I think that is fascinating and encouraging, because I think, like action, if you're going to think of a genre where you would figure it would be difficult for a woman to get footing, horror would be one. And also, if you think of a genre like action where it would be nice to see females represented in a different way on screen, horror jumps out to you as well.
Yeah, this is so multifaceted. It's hard to measure the impact of having a woman behind the camera, mm-hmm. being a film director, being the you know, all the different roles back there and how it affects what you actually end up seeing on film.
Yeah, it is. It is remarkable. And it's funny. So Wonder Woman originally was, or one of the early directors that were originally attached to Wonder Woman, Jennifer Kent, Australian filmmaker Jennifer Kent, who made a name for herself a couple of years ago with the horror film The Babadook, which is a remarkable piece of cinema. And what I thought the most bizarre and amazing thing about it is that it's almost entirely about feminine grief and the reaction a mother has when she basically doesn't want to have this child anymore. It's such an incredibly female film and brilliantly made, and it was a wild success. But one of the things that I think is interesting about Jennifer Kent, she did not want to then make a blockbuster. She didn't want to work with Hollywood. She wanted to make the next film that she wanted to make. Same with Ava DuVernay. Hmm. They offered her Black Panther, but she wanted to make the 13th instead. So I think that there is so much decay in the Hollywood system that sometimes the best artists are saying, you know, I would rather just slug it out and make my own.
So there is a little bit of that then.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's
I definitely think so.
Mm-hmm. It isn't just about roles. It's about the type of roles. Chastain referred to more roles depicting the type of women that she recognizes in her day-to-day life. Ones that are, as she put it, proactive, have their own agencies, just don't react to the men around them, mm-hmm. and have their own point of view. Alicia Milone, do you know what she's talking about?
Yeah, well, I was trying to think of the films that I saw in Cannes and what she could exactly be referring to. Uh-huh. And I didn't get to see a lot of the competition movies, but from what I heard from people who saw it, that was just a lot of, there were either women who were missing on screen, women who were used as objects on screen, and women who were treated abusively on screen. And I think a lot of that came from the male directors that were involved. We had a couple of great films from female directors, like Lynn Ramsey did a film, and of course Sofia Coppola. But I think it was a lot of the depiction of women, and yeah, I agree that it is disappointing when you see this happen in independent movies. Hmm. But I think a lot of it came from not the female director side of things, but more the male director side of things. And I think, you know, we're so used to now seeing the world through one perspective and one eyes, and people forget how powerful film can be. And like, you know, Holt mentioned, something like Babadook, it was such a female story and one that resonates with everyone. And I think Wonder Woman, even though it's the same story that Hollywood has been telling for a long time, mm-hmm. same formulaic comic book movie, it does feel different when it comes from a female perspective.
Gabriel Burton, you're on the line. Welcome to the show, Gabriel.
Hi, thanks, Ann. Good to be on here.
I think tell everybody who you are first.
Oh, I'm Gabrielle Burton, and I'm one of the sisters who run Five Sisters Productions. And I think, Alicia, maybe you interviewed my sister Maria for your book.
Yeah.
Yes. So, hi. Nice to talk to you. I wanted to bring up a few points from sort of the inside of someone working as a female director. The issue of representation of women as examples of failure when on movies as behind the screen or on screen is often not applied in the same way. I mean, it is never applied in the same way to men in those positions. So there were so many women in film who were waiting with bated breath about Wonder Woman and how it would be received, and would it be a box office smash, because it would indicate whether or not any women would be hired to do another superhero movie or a movie at that budget level. And that's been the discussion, you know, over and over again, when women are given that opportunity, that they are somehow representative of all people in the field who share their biology. And I think that that's something that people have to be aware of, and then connect that to their power as consumers, that if they're wanting to see more of these things, they vote at the box office, they go out the first week, and even within their own industries, they need to start considering, you know, half of their candidates for a lineup should be women, and whether or not they end up choosing that, that's going to open up so many more opportunities if people simply start considering representation, which also plays out on screen in crowd scenes. And if you start talking about these things, that's an issue. So some screenwriters are writing that in and saying, half of the crowd is male, half of the crowd is female. And suddenly you see a completely different image on screen of what's happening.
It's just little thing. I say little, but the details that the average viewer won't even necessarily notice.
Yes, yes. And then also, you know, if a movie is a success, if it's a failure, you know, we need to have the same standards applied. If we're saying it's because it was, you know, a female-directed thing, well, more people should be given, you know, more women should be given that opportunity. If it's a failure, it's not necessarily because she was a woman. And I think this leads to the hour before that you had, where the one commentator was saying how, you know, the candidate and the political race, a lot of people aren't necessarily considering that. That whole play of gender went into it and are, you know, simplifying a discussion, which is much more complex. Hmm.
Gabrielle Burton, thanks for joining us. I appreciate your time.
Sure. Thanks for having me on.
Gabrielle Burton, one of the sisters in Five Sister Production. She's been on the show before. You can check out our website and hear what she's had to say in the past. Hope, man, what she was saying about those kind of production values that people, it's a subliminal thing at a certain point.
It really is. I think you can see it in a lot of different ways. And if you just look at Wonder Woman again, there are certain things that I'm not sure sort of, you know, the average superhero audience is going to pick up on that were really fascinating little turns of phrase and decisions that were made by the director that actually fit the character. I'm not saying it was necessarily a feminist stamp, but you had a woman who grew up around only women and, excuse me, you know, so things that would have come off as being sort of gallantries, she looked at as being alien, you know, and then it was what I thought was really, I thought that Chris Pine did a lovely job as her second, which is really what he was for most mm-hmm. of the movie. He was basically her Girl Friday. Mm-hmm. And when it, but you could see it in his face going, yes, she does not need me to hold her hand. Like, yes, I don't need to open the door for her right now. As the things were just settling in with him, and they were very minor points, but they were very authentic to the character. So it's not as if you felt you were being preached to. At the same time, they did sort of throw a glance at, why do we do that exactly?
And Alicia Malone, you agree? I mean, if a guy had been directing the film, those little subtleties might not have emerged.
Yeah, and these are things that I've pointed out to my male friends that they haven't even noticed, but I completely noticed. I mean, even things like, you know, Chris Pine, he was shown in the naked scene as being vulnerable. I mean, that never happens. If you see a man who is shirtless, it's usually because he's doing an action and he's in power. And just to flip that slightly was really big. And also the way she shot Gal Gadot in her body. I mean, I walked out saying, I want to be strong as her, and she wasn't objectified, she wasn't sexualized. I also thought it was great the way they made her discovering the world, but she didn't seem naive or dumb. And I thought that Patty Jenkins just did such a great job at adding these tiny little touches that some people might not even notice, but it actually makes a huge difference. And I totally agree that I was worried about Wonder Woman because it has the double whammy of having a female superhero and also a female director. And if it didn't do well, then that wouldn't happen for a long, long time. Female director and female superhero would be blamed rather than the actual movie itself. So thank God it's so good.
It's true. A lot of people, they brought up Elektra and Catwoman as reasons why nobody wanted to see a superhero female on the screen, and without ever really addressing the fact that those movies were awful. God,
bad
awful.
let's see. Alex and Hilliard, you're on the air. Hi, Alex.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Fine, thanks.
I just wanted to point something out. I was thinking about it while listening to you guys. While I was growing up, some of my favorite books are like The Outsiders and Rumblefish. And then when I finally got to see the movies when I got a little older, I didn't really like the movies as much. I thought they were a little, nothing really compared to the actual story. And then when I found out that S.E. Hinton was actually a female, and it was really strange to me that I could connect so well with a female's perspective of how a young male grows up. And then you give it to a director like Francis Ford Coppola, which he kind of doggins the story and makes it a little more action-y and a little more flashier than it actually is. When really it's just like this down-to-earth story that from a female's perspective of a young man, I thought was handled so perfectly. And then when I grew up, I obviously knowing that J.K. Rowling is a female and she writes from the point of view of a young male almost perfectly as well. And then, sorry to add to it, I apologize to your producer, but when I was growing up, one of my favorite movies and still my favorite movie is Alien. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of silly to hear people talk about that female leads would never work when Ripley, Sigourney Weaver was doing it so long ago and made an impression on me, at least, to know that I always thought women were kick butt and could do anything growing up, at least.
Yeah, exactly. She was one of the examples I listed. You know, I mean, Katharine Hepburn, back when I was very young, would watch the old movie channel and think, wow. And then Sigourney Weaver in Alien. I mean, that was just mind-blowing in its day. You know, Kathy Schulman, president of Women in Film and CEO of Well Entertainment, said in a recent interview that the Wonder Woman example is an enormous step forward for overall. She said that when she became president of Women in Film 7 years ago, she couldn't get a story about gender issues in Hollywood printed. What has changed over the years, Alicia Malone?
The conversation has definitely grown, and I think a lot of that has to do with social media and just spreading awareness. You know, a lot of people say, well, it's talk and no action, and that's true. At some point, the talk has to move to action, and that's where a lot of people are working behind the scenes to actually try to make this happen. But the conversation is so important. I think now people are becoming so much more aware, and I always say, you know, if you notice something on screen, critique it on screen and then share it with your friends. Share it online, even if you think you only have a small community online, it just creates this wealth of conversation, and people are becoming much more aware of it now. The press are covering it, and I think it's now at this point where we can't go back from this conversation. Everybody is starting to notice it, and that's exciting to me.
You've had some pushback, though. You've had bad experiences.
Yeah, I continue to as well. I mean, even just the other day, I tweeted about Wonder Woman having, you know, a great female audience and showing that a female-led movie can make money. And I got so many horrible comments from Twitter. And it's always surprising to me just the pushback and how people are so scared of talking about women and talking about wanting equality for women. I mean, I even posted a picture the other day of wearing a t-shirt that said Future is Female, and the debate that it caused on Instagram about whether I meant that I wanted to kill all men. I mean, it was just insane. And it just seems so backwards to me. But I just think, you know, from the first time I got a YouTube comment saying I was a feminazi, I was like, well, now I'm just going to talk about it more. So watch out, you know, and now I just stay away from YouTube comments.
Well, Alicia Malone, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Alicia Malone is a film reporter. She will post a link to her TEDx talk about women in film. She's the author of the forthcoming book entitled Backwards and in Heels, The Past, Present, and Future of Women Working in Film. More coming up on All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about the dearth of women in film. In a male-dominated industry, women have traditionally had little power in front of or behind the camera, and that affects the sort of stories that are told. The dearth of opportunity is part of what brought together our next guests. Joining us is actress and producer Heather Ault. Welcome.
Hello. Hi. Nice to see you.
Also producer, director, and actress Sarah Chaney. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Sarah and Heather started the production company Six with Heels Productions and have returned to their native Ohio to scout locations for their first feature film. Heather appeared on All Sides about 5 years ago to talk about an award-winning web series she helped produce entitled Two Hopeful Spinsters. So you've made the leap from a web series to feature film. What happened in between?
What happened in between, you know, working as an actress, and Sarah moved to Los Angeles about 5 years ago, and we had met 17 years ago doing theater, and we realized that we both had worked for a lot of people helping make their businesses successful, and noticing the shift in ourselves and wanting to really promote women, because it was becoming more and more apparent as an actress and seeing things from different sides. I'd worked in casting, I'd worked a lot of areas, how underrepresented women were in every area. And so we decided that we'd be stronger together, and we formed Six with Heels to help promote women in media. And the great thing about our company is that women will make up 50% of all cast, crew, and content. So it's not just, you know, we really want to strengthen the voice of women in media in all areas.
So it's sort of like setting a quota, which makes the hair stand up on their back, mm-hmm. you know, when you start talking about quotas. But I also wanted to ask you, has it been a challenge to achieve that goal?
Surprisingly, no. We have been welcomed with open arms by the huge community in Los Angeles that is growing and growing with women. After we started the company, everyone has been reaching out. I want to help. I want to help. I want to get involved. We've been receiving resumes. We've been hearing from new voices. And what we're realizing is the quota is it's not even, I wouldn't even call it a quota. It's just easy. We're women. We want to tell stories that we relate to, that I grew up seeing. I want to show the world from my eyes, and that with female friendships, with mothers, with nieces, with all of that. I think that at least in Los Angeles, where we're from, I think that it has been, everyone is screaming for it. So we've curated this mass group of support.
I mean, we have people come up to us when we work at coffee shops a lot, and we've had people come up to us and say, "Hi, I don't want to interrupt, but I overheard you talking about this, and I do this, and here's my card." And we have a great girl working with us now doing our social media because she overheard me talking at a coffee shop, and she was just so excited to get involved. And I think now
that you're looking for women.
Yes, that we're looking for men, and it's not that we're anti-men and we don't want men involved,
right.
But it's really just about balancing. I mean, we make up 50% of the population, yet that percentage is so, disproportionate to what is in the industry.
And that goes all the way through the industry.
Every aspect of it.
It's not just at the top. It's mm-mm. not just directors, film editors, that kind of a thing.
Everywhere.
It's everywhere. What about the observations that the dearth of females in control at the studios result in a dearth of topics that matter to women? Thoughts about that?
Well, I could speak to this. Growing up, my father was really into Western movies.
Yeah.
And I would watch them with him, and I would...
Well, we were forced to because, well, at least when I was, there was only three channels. But
right.
Go ahead. Maybe not you.
Yeah. And he'd be like, "Honey, you'll love this."
That and the Today Show, yeah.
Right, that was it.
And then you've got the damsel in distress, and you've got the sassy woman who runs the bar or the brothel. And I'd be like, that's who I get to pick from? So I would automatically start to relate to the protagonist, who was a male. But then it never felt right. It was just not quite my experience. And so... Jessica Chastain spoke so beautifully about this at Cannes, mm-hmm. that we need to start telling stories from our points of view. What is life like as a woman?
The women that we recognize in our day-to-day lives and ourselves.
And when you write from your own point of view, I think it becomes more real, more three-dimensional. Not that men can't write beautiful women, but I think it needs to be all perspectives. We need to hear all of the voices.
Mike New Albany, you're on the air. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hey, how are you today?
Good.
I guess I just had a few comments, first of which being on the equality issue. It seems like that's what we're preaching and that's what we want. But at the same time, when you're picking a cast of 50% men, 50% women, that's not equal. That's picking the winners and losers. So do we want women to be represented at 50%, or do we want the best person for the job? What do we want?
Is it an either-or proposition?
Well, I think it has to be if you're picking 50% of the women are going to be on a cast, or 50% of the men. Who's to say that 80% of them shouldn't have been women, or 80% men.
But we're saying 50% or more.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mike. I didn't mean to cut you off, but yeah.
So we're saying 50% or more, and we're not. You know, we just want to make sure that the scales are balanced, and we want to find the best people, but we also want to tell the stories that we relate to. And I think having that balance, because if you look at movies now, like, it's not even remotely close to 50%, and it's not saying, oh, a woman can do it, but a man can't. It's just finding that balance and telling those stories from that perspective.
What does, and Mike, thank you for that call. I mean, I'm sure this is the objection or the concern that Mike seems to have is always comes to the fore when you talk about making commitments to hire a certain number of anything.
Mm-hmm. And I think, and we actually produced a short last year where the director wanted it to be an all female cast and crew, entirely female cast and crew. And it
Why?
Was because that was, you know,
part of the statement.
That was part of the statement that
mission,
she wanted to
yeah.
make.
Yeah.
She was, and I think, and it was really challenging, but we also got a lot of pushback from men saying, why don't you want a man? Why don't you want a man? And we're like, it's not that we don't. We're just trying to tell this story from a female perspective. And for this purpose, that serves it best based on what, you know, the director wanted. And it was, but it was also really tricky because we got so much heat for it.
And our effort is also to give more opportunity to an underserved community. You could have 10 women being interviewed for an editor position, and the job goes to the nephew of the CEO of a studio or what have you. It's finding the best person for the job, for sure, to speak to what Mike is saying. Mm-hmm. But if we're telling a story about women, then we're also going to cast a lot of women because it's a story about women, and a female director's point of view is going to be different from a male's perspective, you know, and we want to start seeing through those eyes. We've seen the stories with men, and we're not going to stop telling stories about men in a three-dimensional way that would do a huge disservice to us.
There must be an element of Hollywood that is sympathetic to this male establishment Hollywood that gets it.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, and what I heard earlier on your show, and they were talking about how it's that catch-22 where women don't have as much experience because they're not getting the opportunities, but they can't get the opportunities because they don't have the experience.
Right.
So we're really trying to, you know, broaden that. But, you know, like Joss Whedon is always very supportive and speaks out and is a big advocate of women in film. And I think there are definitely the second you start talking about it and putting it out there, you realize it's not as divisive as men versus women, that there are a lot of men, women, everybody wants, you know, there are a lot of people that want to balance those scales.
So what do you identify in the alchemy of movie making as the disconnect in all of this? Where is it falling? I mean, where are those decisions being made? Where is it just where they're thinking it doesn't really matter who the caterer is, whether it's male or female? It doesn't really matter who the makeup artist is, male or female, the costume designer or whatever. They think it only matters when it comes to being a director and who's in front of the camera, or where is it happening?
That's a really good question, Anne. And I think personally, it's difficult to point that out, except for perhaps a lack of proactiveness, a willingness to actually look at that decision. Because we've been doing something for so long, we get accustomed to making a decision of, oh, well, I worked with that caterer before, or I worked with that costume designer before, and I trust them and I've seen them, as opposed to, here's a new shiny voice that maybe we want to listen to, or look at this woman who has been doing some interesting things. I think that when things become the norm, we just start to go with it.
It's just so ingrained that no one really looks at it with those fresh eyes of, oh, I'm not really seeing the big picture of it.
When you were growing up and getting interested in film, I've already mentioned a couple of the actresses, you know, in front of the camera that I was startled didn't make the huge changes in Hollywood that you would expect given their performances and how amazing they are. Playing strong female characters and that kind of a thing. What about it for you? What interested you, and what characters stand out in your mind from growing up?
What characters stand out in my film? There's a lot. My mom actually loved horror movies. So as a child, I watched a lot of horror movies. So, like I heard you mention,
females in those were almost categorically victimized.
Well, but like Sigourney Weaver and Alien, and they're like, you know, and Poltergeist, like those were like those horror movies. I feel like that's a genre where there isn't a lot of opportunity for change, because I did see those little, you know, those strong women. You did see the objectification as well. But my mom was also a very strong woman. So she also helped to point out the strong women that we were.
What about you, Sarah Cheney?
Well, I'm a huge fan of Meryl Streep. And I don't know whether I had the vocabulary at the time. I think everything was really subliminal and subconscious when I would watch these movies. I would either tap into them or not. I would disconnect, or and I was just always engaged, drawn towards movies with women, whether it was romantic comedies or, like I said, anything Meryl Streep I would watch. And now that we're making film, I'm starting to see, there, you know, there were victims that came out of adversity and that's how they became powerful. Oh, I want to start changing that, because that's not every female's narrative. Let's start to tell a more three-dimensional story here.
Your upcoming film is entitled Fat Camp Massacre. It is female driven. How so?
It's female driven. First, it's anti-bullying. It's an anti-bullying, anti-body shaming horror comedy. And it's female driven because it was written by a female. The protagonist, the two leads are female. We have a female director. There's a lot of really strong female characters. There are male characters as well. But it's really empowering for women and teens. And it has a very powerful message.
You're here scouting locations, right?
Yes. And the Greater Columbus Film Commission has been so wonderful. We coming to another state from, you know, L.A. can be really daunting. Obviously, we're from Ohio. We wanted to pay, you know, an homage to Ohio. But when you don't have the connections and you don't have the relationships, when we've reached out to Ohio in general, we started getting this huge influx of, let me help you, let me help you. And specifically Columbus, they've been very specific of how to help. We love the message of this movie. Oh, we love that it's female driven. Oh, we love that it's a horror comedy and that it's going to take place at a scary camp, you know? And how can we help you? And they've been very specific, connecting us to post houses, connecting us to potential crew, you know, and obviously location scouting. It's been wonderful.
And it's great that we'll be able to go to the Film Festival of Columbus this week and really just meet the Ohio filmmakers and really connect on many levels to this community that, you know, we grew up in. And it's very exciting to be able to bring that back to, you know, where it all began.
Yes. As a young girl growing up doing theater and just loving movies. And actually now we're making movies and we're going to do it in Ohio where we grew up, and we're women and we're running our own company. It's really exciting.
What is the budget for the movie?
Right now it's $1.5 million.
It might go up.
You never know.
So that can change.
That can change, yeah.
And as far as getting the funding for this film, was it difficult?
You know, it's as indie filmmakers, it's been...
It's by definition difficult.
Yes. It's been difficult. Yeah. And it remains complicated. The funding can come from a multitude of sources. The tax incentive in Ohio has been extremely helpful and enticing to other investors as well.
It's like a puzzle. You're like one piece goes in and then you fit the other one. But it's just also exciting because it's been an amazing learning curve. And having, you know, Ohio behind us helps exponentially, because you just don't always get that.
Well, Heather Roll, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about it.
Thank you.
Sarah Cheney, thanks to you as well. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Anne.
Heather Roll and Sarah Cheney are with the, I'm sorry, it doesn't describe your company, Six...
With Heels.
Six with Heels production company. Their upcoming film is entitled Fat Camp Massacre. For more information, you can check out the links on our website at WOSU.org/AllSides. This has been All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.